Recordings are started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the CWG on Country and Territory Names, STLD, taking place on Monday, the 2nd of May, 2016. On the call today, we have Robin Gross, Heather Forrest, Ann Beth Lang, Donna Selman, Cheryl Lang Denora, Colin O'Brien, Ron Sherwood, Mirjnik Tasik, Sebastian Pensis, and Carlos Raul Gutierrez. Joining us a little later will be Paul Schneidler. We have listed apologies from Maxim Alzoba, Susan Payne, Yap Ackerhaus, and Laura Hutchinson. From staff, we have Yoka Braken, Lars Hoffman, Bart Boswinkle, Brian Atchison, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and I understand, Lars, you'll be taking it over from here. I turn it over to you.
This is Lars. Terry, I think that in a surprise twist, somebody misinformed you, is how I'm going to put it. Heather, I think, is sharing today. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Heather. Thank you very much, Lars, and thank you very much, Terry. And welcome to our meeting of the Cross-Community Working Group on the Use of Country and Territory Names and PLDs. You will see that we have an agenda in our Adobe room, which, of course, begins with the welcome. We've just done that. We have our typical GMSO introduction slide on the screen at the moment, which reminds you to connect your audio, make sure that you have either dialed into the bridge, and if you need help with a dial out, please let Terry know, or by activating the microphone within Adobe Connect. And there's also a reminder, which is a good one, to update your statement of interest if you haven't done so lately and you have some changes. I also know, just as a housekeeping point, that Terry has very kindly pointed out the wiki agenda page in early on in the chat for the group. With that in mind as a starting point, we have our agenda items. You'll see that the first thing that on our agenda is acknowledging the comments received on the paper that we're calling, thanks to Larson's ingenuity, The Straw Woman. That paper sets out our thinking on a proposal, really, that was developed from the input that was received from our informal survey on three character country codes. And you may have noted in the email that went around with the agenda for this week's meeting, we noted in preparing for this meeting that we'd received, in the meantime, since the last meeting, and it seems that there was maybe some concern as to whether it had made it onto the list at the last meeting, but Pana Giotis' comments on The Straw Woman. In the meantime, we also received comments from, I believe it was Colin in the interim. And so I suppose one of the things that struck us was that while have received comments, and we're very, very grateful for the comments that we received. We haven't received numerous comments. And the comments that we have received have been, in some ways, not entirely, but in some ways, quite diametrically opposed or presenting, if you like, very, very different perspectives. We anticipated that. We had a feeling, and it was why we started with two-letter codes. We thought it would be the least, perhaps controversial is the right word, the least controversial place to begin. And as we moved along in our work, we expected that the task would get harder and the positions would get more divided, and indeed that is panning out. So with that in mind, I've acknowledged the two comments that have come in since our last meeting. Have I missed, does anyone know of any comments besides those that have come in the meantime? I wouldn't like to forget anyone at this stage. Lars, maybe you can help me here and remind me, are those the only two that we've received in the meantime?
Thank you, Heather. This is Lars. I'm sorry, I didn't raise my hand. You're right that these are the two comments that we received on the Strawwoman paper. In addition, I think Alexander Schubert from Dot Berlin started some discussion on the list surrounding the Strawwoman paper, but those were comments directly on the paper, but still I think something that would be very useful in the forthcoming discussion. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lars. That's great. And just for the record, apologies for not being absolutely clear when we first started out. I was referring to Colin O'Brien's comment. Colin O'Brien is an attorney with Partridge Partners and a member of the IPC. So that puts us in an interesting position, let's say. And I know Paul Schindler isn't yet on the call. He's coming. He's joining us shortly, but isn't on the call. We have Annabeth on the call and Carlos. The four of us make up the co-chairs for this group. And we met with staff in preparing for this call to think about how to move forward in light of the fact that we have these comments, and they're quite different and they're not tremendously numerous. And one of the things that we realized perhaps we have a unique opportunity in the fact that we have this new meeting schedule before us, and specifically the, let's say, the different element, the very different element in the new meeting schedule is meeting B. And can we somehow harness the power of meeting B and the intention of meeting B as a policy forum to flesh out perhaps the differences that are in the comments that have been received, perhaps fill in the gaps on places where we haven't received comments, and see if this can somehow help us in our work. And with that in mind, we have canvassed some let's say, very high-level ideas as to what each of our communities is doing, the GNSO and the CCNSO, as to how we're planning to use Meeting B. And it seems that no one's entirely sure yet what we're doing with Meeting B. And perhaps we can say a few things about that. I'll give a very, you know, few words about what the GNSO is thinking. I might turn it over to Bart and Annabeth to say some comments about how the CCNSO is approaching Meeting B. And then perhaps Cheryl might offer some comments from that perspective. And from there, what I'd like to do is springboard and ask, how do we, the CWG and Country and Territory Names, how do we use Meeting B? From a GNSO perspective, we have largely designed our, and are in the process of designing our schedule around our ongoing PDPs, our policy development processes. The GNSO, you might know or recall, is tasked under the ICANN bylaws with managing the policy development process for policy relating to generic topical remains. We have a number of PDPs live at the moment. Two of those dealing with the next round of new GTLD expansion. One which is the bizarrely named Subsequent Procedures PDP, New GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP, and the other one is the RPM PDP, Rights Protection Mechanism PDP, evaluating all of the rights protection mechanisms from the 2012 expansion round. So our work is largely large chunks of time, more than the usual, say, hour time slots that would be given in an ICANN meeting as we know and love them, larger chunks of time devoted to face-to-face meetings for those PDP working groups. That is largely the focus of our schedule, in addition to meetings in the GNSO Council that Carlos and I will both attend, And I think our only face-to-face meeting, formal face-to-face meeting, is with the GAC primarily to discuss issues around IANA transition. So we're taking things very differently than we ordinarily would. Bart or Annabeth, could I perhaps turn to you to say a few words about how the CCSO is approaching the upcoming meeting? Thanks.
Annabeth, you want to go, or do you want me to do it? Annabeth? I think Annabeth is on mute. Annabeth, go ahead. No, let me. I hope you can hear me. So decision is. Annabeth, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I think that the GNSO and the CCNSO, the way they are conducting their meetings, are quite different. So usually we don't discuss the P2Ps in the same way as you do, and we have more member or different CCs conveying what's happening in their world and also common interest towards the other stakeholder groups. But I think that Bart knows the program for Helsinki better than I do. So, Bart, perhaps you could enlighten us a little on what's the plan so far?
Yes, it's almost the way it's been approached by the CCNSO program working group is almost like considering meeting B as the ordinary meeting. So there will be, say, tech day on Monday, and that's the difference with the ordinary meeting, there will be full CCNSO days until 3 p.m. And as of 3 p.m., at the request and looking at meeting B and the purpose of meeting B, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., are still open for cross-community work. So if CCTLDs want to attend one of the slots, they are more than invited to attend those. And secondly, knowing, say, some of the topics that are proposed for the cross-community sessions are not really of interest to the to CCTLDs. There is, say, the CCNSO itself or under auspices of the CCNSO, there will be some cross-community work and community slots open to everybody, like the whole meeting. On topics of interest to the CCTLD community organized by the CCNSO. So that's the main difference. In the afternoon from 3 to 6, there is not the regular CCNSO sessions. From 9 to 3, there is the regular CCNSO sessions. And what is a difference as well is normally the council meetings are Wednesday. It will now be on Thursday just before lunch. So that's how the CCNSO meeting looks like. So there is, for the CC, there's plenty of opportunity to participate in cross-community work.
Great. Thanks, Bart, very much. Cheryl, your hand is up, please.
Thank you, Heather. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. I just wanted to let you know that, like the rest of the community, ALAC and at large is finding a challenge in coming to terms with how we best operate a Meeting B program, but also additionally because what we have done in the past is take our outreach responsibilities fairly seriously. We've got an additional challenge with Helsinki being the midsummer vacation period, universities, etc., all those places we'd normally interact with, just not going to play with us. In fact, we've been told it'll be a ghost town that we're trying to get around. So, which would be good for walking, but if those who like to walk, but it's certainly not going to make outreach very easy. So, like the rest of you, we're focusing on our work groups and on our attendance and interaction with existing policy meetings, when and where we know they are on. We have a fairly flexible, it's down in writing and in draft form, but we will be moving the pieces around to suit once we know what work group meetings are happening when. But we also will be focusing on making sure our afternoons are available for cross-community activities, and we're very keen to find out which and what of those is going on. And of course, many of our members are active members in other policy activities, so we'll probably be spread in a little way across other activities the whole time. And just before you ask, Heather, what that sounds like listening to all of us is we're really going to have to do something in one of the afternoons if we're going to get a block of time for useful forum interaction with our community as a cross-community input for our work in this group. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. That's helpful. Annabeth, your hand is up.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask Panos from Greece if he could say something about the GATT plans for this meeting. Will they have more time to discuss things with the cross communities than they usually have?
It's Panos here. Can you hear me? It's Panos here.
Yes.
Hello,
yes.
Everybody. Unfortunately, Annabeth, I cannot answer this question because the last 2 weeks we had Easter vacation in Greece, so I had some days off and I could not follow the preparations for the GAC agenda. I don't have any idea of GAC agenda at this moment. As soon as I have some update, I will let you know. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Annabeth, and thanks, Panos. Do we have anyone from any of the other communities within ICANN? I'm looking down our list of names. But sometimes it's the case that if you misplace a name and have them think they're in one community and in fact they're in a different community. Do you have anyone else that's not AS or ALAC or at large or GNSO or CCNSO? I haven't looked back yet. No, good. All right. Well, that gives everyone an idea, and I suppose what it does for me is it gives me some confidence that we're not alone in the GNSO in trying to find our feet still at this late stage in upcoming meeting B. We did, in fact, Lars and Carlos and I discussed the possibility of putting this CWG on the agenda for the GNSO at meeting B, and the way that would have worked, let's say, at that stage, it was really just a put your hand up if you would like to be one of the working groups that gets focused on and potentially have a spot in these intensive sessions that the GNSO is running, intensive face-to-faces. And in fact, of course, a number of groups put up their hands, and we were one of many. And so the GNSO agenda does not, at this point, have a slot for us. So with that in mind, I suppose the natural next step would be to think about the CCNSO agenda, and could we the CCNSO is the other sponsoring organization. Panos, I see your hand is up, please.
Yes, sorry for taking the floor again. I just wanted to add that the GAC has a special working group on geographic names. This group has been aware of the work that is done in this group that we are now. So I'm pretty sure that at least the members of this group, if not the whole GAC, would like to would like to have a cross-community discussion for this issue that we're talking in our group now. The group of geographic names is been aware, it has notified by Orlov mainly, me and other GAC members. That is for the record. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Panos. That's useful, and indeed that's something that was not on our agenda. Apologies. There was some discussion back and forth, largely on the staff end, as to whether we could meet with the GAC working group. They had asked to meet with us some time ago, and we said we'd be very happy to discuss how we could put that onto the schedule. Lars or Bart, can you update us on where we are with that?
Could you repeat?
Hello, this is Lars. Sorry, I'm coming off mute.
Go ahead, Lars.
Okay. But yeah, so we had a schedule for Monday morning. I spoke to the GAC support. They proposed the time in principle, and then when I first got back to them, they said, yeah, we don't actually know yet either exactly our schedule. It's just what looks good at the moment. And I then confirmed that Monday would definitely work for our leadership and mostly for our group as well. And they have yet to get back to me. But the working assumption right now is that Monday morning will be the time. Thank you, Heather.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ross. So indeed, that's in the schedule, and that's not, let's say, to replace, or the intention isn't that would replace our regular meeting, nor I anticipate that meeting replaces any regular meeting of the GAC working group. It bears mention that Annabeth and Lars and Susan Payne, there were a few of us from the working group, from this cross-community working group, that attended the GAC working group meeting in Marrakesh. And that was quite interesting because we've had some difficulty in, let's say, since their meetings are closed, we've had some difficulty in following what that group is doing and where it's gotten to in its work. And so that was quite useful. So I would encourage everyone, if you're able to, once we have the details locked down into the agenda for the upcoming meeting, then we'll circulate those on list and make sure they're very clearly advertised. I'd encourage you to attend. I found that it was one of the most useful sessions in the meeting last time in Marrakesh. The intention, I can't say we've nailed down the agenda, but it, at least in our discussion back and forth with between staff, is that the meeting be sort of equally divided, half of the time devoted to an update from us to them, and then vice versa, the other half of the time them updating us on their work. So with that, it promises to be a fairly useful session if you're able to attend. So that's not, let's say, the only thing we hope to achieve or the only time we plan to meet face-to-face in Helsinki. And so I suppose if we can't get into the GNSO agenda, which it looks increasingly like we can't, Bart, could you perhaps, from a staff and a scheduling point of view, can you give us some idea as to whether we could get into the agenda for the CCNSO? And perhaps when thinking about getting into the agenda, let's stick with the theme, if we can, of meeting B as a policy forum, as a sort of open discussion, as opposed to our usual face-to-face hour-and-a-half meeting. Thanks, Bart.
Yeah, this is Bart. As I said in the introduction on how the CCNSO meeting is structured, is on Tuesday and Wednesday and even on Thursday afternoon, there is an open slot from 3 to 5 or 3 to 6 for cross community work. And as I said, and it depends a bit on the topics discussed in parallel on during that time. The CCNSO is looking into, say, if some of their hot topics are not on the list of the major in the major room to organize some sessions themselves. Say one will be definitely on the new CCNSO PDP envisioned. Say one of the opportunities, because I think to date we have say potentially 3 sessions, is for this group and maybe in conjunction with others to use that slot under the umbrella of the CCNSO for again cross community work, because I think if it say the main criteria, as far as I understand from the program working group, the CCNSO program working group, is there should be a clear link with the interest and what the CCTLD community finds interesting, and clearly this is one of them. So there is potentially an opportunity that, say, either on Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, depending on the other slot, this group, under the umbrella and in the room of the CCNSO, could organize a broader session with the broader community, because this is definitely cross-community work. Does that answer your question, Heather?
That's great, Bob. Very, very helpful. I think as a starting point, then we at least know it's possible. I wouldn't want to go down the path here of having a broader discussion about what we could do with time if there is no time to do anything with. So it seems like perhaps we do have some possibility of time in a room. What does everyone think? I'd like to turn it over to the floor. Would it be useful to have a broader community session and to hear others' views on the work that we've done to now? Of course, we have our straw man, and it's been circulated, or straw woman, excuse me. It's been circulated amongst us, and we may have discussed it with members of our respective communities, but we haven't engaged the broader public really since our informal survey. I wonder if this perhaps isn't an opportunity to get the community more involved in our work. Does anyone have a view on that? Cheryl's typed into the chat. Cheryl Langenor says, yes, I think a cross-community session would be useful and timely in Helsinki. Thanks, Cheryl. That's useful input. Anyone else have feelings about the idea of a cross-community session as a way forward? But we need to get it into the agenda ASAP, Cheryl says, and I agree. I don't see any hands. Annabeth has typed into the chat. Orno Storm, representing Norway and the GAC, is also a member of our working group, and I think he's participating in Helsinki. There have been some comments in the chat about the GAC working group, and Panos says, unfortunately, he might not be able to attend. Annabeth, your hand is up, please.
Hello, this is Annabeth again. I think that it's a very good idea to try to get people from all the communities to discuss this, because as you have said earlier, Heather, we have had some comments, but too few. If this is of interest to all the communities, they should be active now and have a possibility to say what they mean in a broader discussion. If we can manage that in Helsinki, that would be very good. So I support the idea of doing that if we can manage it in any way.
Great. Thanks, Annabeth. Paul, over to you.
Thanks, Heather. 2 points. First of all, definitely agree with the idea. And Annabeth's focus specifically on our work, the working group's work, and particularly given we've had a bit of a dry run with an unclear way forward with the consultation that we've done to date with the community, I think it would be good to try to solicit more input, but also I believe the session should be more broadly focused, that a more general discussion on, in other words, not just us talking, but us listening as a working group as well, so that we get input from those other folks that are doing work that we identified. So specifically the geographic focus of the group within GAC. For example, there's a lot of talk around geographic issues, geographic names going on around the community. Just it would be good for everyone to get together and hear each other's views and each other's areas of activity at the moment, both to set the scene, but then also foster some sort of mutual understanding of where there's intersection and overlap. So good idea, especially if we can make it a bit broader than just our group's work.
Great. Thanks very much, Paul. I note that Panos has agreed in the chat with the idea. I suppose building on Paul's comment just now, in light of the fact that we have this meeting that's lined up with the GAC, and the GAC's focus, one of our major concerns all along has been, and certainly my focus, I will wear this very clearly, one of my concerns all along has been the multiplicity of efforts in this space, and by this space I mean geographic names. We have had some early dialogue, early and perhaps confused dialogue, and I suppose increasingly clearer dialogue with the GAC working group. Initially it was a sub-working group, and now it's a working group of its own, as to what their scope was, and it seems that their scope is geographic and cultural names other than country and territory names. Our scope, of course, limited by our charter only to country and territory names used at the top level. I still have concerns. I mean, I suppose it's been argued to me that that's a bright line between those two. And I humbly and respectfully disagree. I would put all of these names in the camp of geographic name. And that, to me, says that we could, in the end, come up with conflicting approaches or diverging approaches to how we deal with different categories of geographic names. So I wonder if this isn't, and I know others have shared concerns like this, so I think it's largely been me that's been very vocal about it, but I know others have approached me in the meeting to say that they share that concern, and Annabeth has put a comment in the chat to say she's concerned as well, agrees. I wonder if then this isn't an opportunity to seize in the fact that we have this close community theme, we have this policy development theme for Meeting B, and rather than approach this from the perspective of country and territory names, perhaps what we do is open the floor to geographic names more broadly. And that will, given Paul Schindler's comment and Annabeth about let's get the community more broadly involved, that'll certainly bring in the GAC community and hopefully engage the ALAC as well. Maybe, Cheryl, you'd be willing to offer some comments after Annabeth, who has her hand up. Thanks.
Thank you, Heather. My greatest concern, based on the experience we had from the first round on new GTLDs, is that the GAC want and voice their concerns about country and territory names at this stage when we have the working group, and then if we feed something into the PDP from the working group and the GAC afterwards work up and put their views into the PDP, that will delay the process the same way as it did last time. So the more we can get the GAC into the discussion at this stage, the better it is, in my view.
Great, thanks, Annabeth. I agree with you. I think that's a very sensible approach. Cheryl, thank you very much for jumping in.
Thank you, Heather. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. And I'm going to wear a couple of hats here, not just the at large. Let me try that again. At large and ALAC one, but also as still, because we haven't got rid of
the whole thing yet. The standing currently chair of the GEO Reviews working group as well. Yes, it's still alive, scary as that may sound. Some of us have children that are practically having children that are younger than that. But anyway, feels like it's gone on for eons. It's probably a very good idea, actually, if we can pull it off in a way that engages all of these other active and less active groups that have been looking at the whole GEO questions. It's a little bit like the use of country and territory names, and it is such a hot button for so many people, keeps getting visited by all sorts of different factions, and it might be a good idea if we can do it to get everybody together for a more of a forum-type discussion that would certainly feed in at an appropriate time to a number of activities. But, of course, we can't make that happen without a great deal of coordination, so you'd need to be reaching out pretty quickly to the leads of the other component parts to make sure they at least have a facilitator or commenter on their work to date on these things. But certainly what I found when we recently had the public comment on our almost ancient history piece of geographic regions within ICANN is that so many new people had come into all of our communities that, you know, things went back to relitigation stage yet again, and if we can avoid that in any way with the work we're currently doing with the use of names, that would be excellent. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Very prudent and helpful comment. Carlos, please, your hand is up.
Yes, Carlos, for the record, I want to second these words that Cheryl just used. We cannot forget that we have two or three macro efforts going on in terms of the subsequent rounds and in terms of the right protection mechanisms on trademarks, and we are also analyzing the competition impact of the last round, which has been very positive with some community issues like cities, but not so much with other ones. And we cannot forget that we have two ongoing IRPs against board decisions on two geographic-related names that I'm not going to quote here. So I think this idea of having a wider participation in Helsinki, Sherry used the word forum, would be very interesting to analyze, to have people from each SO and AC, and I don't know, maybe even somebody from the board, and or if they don't want somebody from the legal department who is dealing with the IRPs, and have a frank exchange. Where do we stand? Because apart from all the difficulties of dealing with this issue of country and territory names, there is a big danger that we miss the train altogether, and one of the other groups or efforts will start going in another direction. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carlos. I think that's it's an interesting point that you follow on from Cheryl's comment about avoiding litigation and mentioning legal. I think that's a great idea. So general support, mind you, I'm mindful of the fact that that most of the expressions of support on this call have come from the co-chairs, and we, you know, at a very high level discussed this in our preparatory meeting. There have been some positive comments from Cheryl, thank you very much. I put Cheryl on the spot, admittedly. From Panos and Colin in the chat. And Cheryl's made the smiley face for me in the Adobe room. Does anyone, perhaps this is the way to do this. Sometimes I have to do this with my university students. Is there anyone that disagrees with the idea of the having some kind of a public forum in Helsinki and using the time slot in the CCNSO to do that? give them a second to reply because there's a few people typing in comments. Shana Shalman has supported, so writes in the chat, I support the idea of a public forum. I see Ron Chu is also typing in a comment. We'll wait for Ron. Plus one to avoiding litigation. Yeah, I agree. Marvelous. Well, no expressions of discomfiture with the idea of having a public forum. Of course, in order to do this and have it within the specter of the CCNSO, let's say our initial focus would need to be our own scope, which is country and territory names. What we can do is we can open up the floor to broader comments on our straw man proposal, our straw woman proposal on three-letter codes. I think it's probably also a good idea to lay the floor with set the stage with our two-letter preliminary conclusions, two-letter code preliminary conclusions that have gotten us to this point. And I think Paul makes a very interesting comment, which I agree with 100%, the idea that this is an opportunity for us to listen more than it is an opportunity for us to speak. How does everyone feel about that? Is this... do you have any ideas as to who we might like? Cheryl's given a green tick in the Adobe. Any ideas on who we might like to invite and how we might like to do this? I suppose one idea could be a panel. One idea could simply be an open forum in the style of an ICANN public forum. What are your thoughts about how can we most effectively use the time to canvas broader community views on our work? Carlos, please.
Yes, thank you, Heather, Carlos, for the record. I think at least we should have look outside of the GAC and GNSO, CCNSO group in terms of having eye contact with the PDP on subsequent rounds and the review on competition and the board or legal, whatever is necessary. So I think we have to open up our horizon and have them together in the main table, so we can catch their opinions or their answers live to whatever discussion starts in the forum. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. And that brings us to Cheryl's point, which is if we want to start inviting these sorts of people, or really anyone we want to invite, we need to do so sooner rather than later, given that we're all starting to put our schedules for Helsinki together in a more concrete way. Anyways, you've written a comment in the chat. The forum we've had before with the red and green cards moderated by Patrick, wasn't that his name? That was quite lively. I don't remember that. Do you want maybe to refresh my memory, or is this something that you've done within the CCNSO? Please, Annabeth, go ahead.
Yeah. Hello again, it's Annabeth here. No, I can't remember which meeting it was, but it was not in the CNSO. It was an open meeting, and the participants were sitting in a kind of a square with each their and Patrick. But you remember this? We have had, I think it was several meetings, a very good moderator walking about, asking questions.
This is,
do you remember it?
Yes, I do. I think these were the initial thoughts. I think the last Cairo meeting was when it was done. But Cheryl knows better. So, Cheryl, you want to go ahead first?
But it's Cheryl for the record, and I do not know better than you, my dear. You know that very well indeed. However, it was, in fact, the very, very earliest of our cross-community efforts. From a public point of view, we were seeing the benefits of the interaction between cross-community on specific topics such as the fast track for IDNs at the time. And Krista Spain, myself as
chair of ALAC and Chuck Gnomes, chair of GNSO, forced the hand, and it was forced. It was argued strongly that we should have some form of public interaction in a cross-community way on a Monday afternoon, and we did run a couple of those. We thought they worked very well, but all sorts of other reasons and stuff got in the way in the interim years. It's a type of format that clearly I strongly support because it is interactive. It mixes the opportunity for community speakers to put a very short piece comment to the room and each other, allows for audience interaction as long as you've got a good facilitator, and the facilitator at that stage, there's many of them out there, but that particular one was Patrick Sherry, because he was working with ICANN on a number of projects, but I'm sure we could find any number of highly capable, including within our community, facilitators. We've all seen, for example, Chris Despain facilitate during IGF meetings, you know, so we've got the talent, but it does allow for a lot of community interaction, and with the use of coloured cards, you can actually, what we called it was measuring the temperature of the room. Of course, we prefer not to use that in a post-IGF commentary world, so we'll have to come up with that some other name if you want to use that format again, but it allowed with the coloured cards for the audience who may not feel comfortable actually getting up and calling for the microphone or standing in a microphone to agree or disagree with what was being said. And it allows a little bit of Q&A, so the facilitator draws out the people around the table as well as interacts with the audience. Can be done, and there's a number of other similar formats we could explore. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Cheryl, Annabeth, and Bart. And Annabeth, your hand is up. Is that an old hand or a new hand?
No, it's a new hand. It's Annabeth again. Why I suggested this was that I remember it, as Cheryl said, that some people discussed, and then we got the temperature from the room for those who didn't necessarily dare or wanted to say something specifically. And what we talked about in the co-chair call we had last week was that what we would like to do was to get other people than those sitting in the working group also to get a feeling of what's going on and got their meaning on these issues. So it might be an idea, but I'm not sure how it could be arranged, but I remember that with it was positive. It was a positive feeling in the room when we had that kind of discussion.
Thanks, Annabeth. Right. So we've put up ideas now about a facilitated discussion, which I think is helpful in a sense that if we are truly there to listen, then it would be beneficial to us not to have to mediate or to facilitate the session. I suppose one question in our agenda, Yoke, if you can note as well, we had written up a little bit earlier, who do we want to invite? And one of the other suggestions about who to invite was the folks from the leadership perhaps of the subsequent procedures PDP. I agree with Carlos that's a very sensible approach, and here's why I say that. The subsequent procedures PDP has as its starting point and as its charter the consideration of all of the policy in the applicant guidebook essentially all of the policy that led to the applicant guidebook, so the GNSO recommendations and procedures. And, of course, Module 2 includes the provisions on geographic names. And so it's very clearly within the scope of the subsequent procedures PDP, and the leadership of that PDP is quite aware of that fact, that our work will ultimately feed into, and indeed the work of the GAC working group will ultimately feed into the subsequent procedures PDP's work. It's part of their charter and part of their mandate in reviewing the position of where we go in terms of modifying or making any new recommendations and guidelines. So I agree that it's an important thing if subsequent procedures is involved. The question, I suppose, that I had is we need to think about the form that this thing takes. If it takes the form of a roundtable whereby we invite particular people, we need to have a backup plan if those particular people are not able to attend. For example, if we try and invite a board member, a member of the ICANN legal staff, someone from subsequent procedures or multiple someones from subsequent procedures, someone from each community, if those people are not able to attend and if they have particular expertise and there's no replacement for them, then that could be a challenge for us. Whereas if we have an open floor similar to what Annabeth and Bart and Cheryl have described, then we're less dependent on particular individuals in the room, but there's more of a risk that without a personal invitation, if you like, we lose key players in the room. So I guess my question to everyone open to the floor is, how do we get the people in the room that we need in the room, whatever form it takes, how do we get the people we need in the room? Any thoughts on that?
Heather, this is Bart. May I address a couple of points?
Please, Bart, go right ahead.
First of all, say, just going back to the cards, etc., ever since Patrick Sherry introduced it, we've been using them within the CCNSO on Wednesday afternoon during panel discussions. And so, say, from an organizing these panel discussions, say, within the CCNSO, there is some experience in doing it in different ways. Normally, if we do have panel discussions, we have, first of all, an introduction and a bit of a roundtable discussion and a facilitator. So you set the scope and the scene of the discussion by people you invite. And in this case, you could even, and that's some of the things we've introduced in the past, is work with mini panels. So two or three people discussing a topic for 10 minutes and then move over to another topic. They all sit in front, and then at the end, you have a facilitator managing that process and asking the right questions and introduce and ask people from the audience to contribute to that discussion. And you have the red and green and I think the yellow cards now so for the audience to participate, yeah, as well in the questions and to share their opinions around the topic. So the way we that's organized is normally we first of all like to is looking at the objective of the meeting itself. What do you want to get out of it? Or what do you want to share? And based on that, you start inviting people. And because that makes it easier to invite people, say, this will be your contribution, and you can add to any other topic, but please present from that perspective and participate from that perspective. So to cut a long story short, may I suggest that staff prepare something for you as co-chairs and to this week, early next week, and to share that later on with the group as a way forward, because then you have a strong format to deal and to organize a kind of forum panel discussion with interaction. Thank you.
Bart, thank you. I think that would be extremely helpful if you and Jokje and Lars are willing to do that, to put together some idea of how this might look. I think that would be very helpful. And I suppose, given that we haven't had any objection on this call, Bart, if you're able to put some sort of pencil mark on that space, or if you can make the request to whomever it needs to be made, that we potentially might want to put our hands on that time that the CCNSO has, then that would also be very helpful, because I'm mindful of the fact that if we don't have a room or we don't have time, then all of this is for naught. So the sooner we can maybe put our hand down for that, that would be great.
And adding to that, say if we go, if it works and it will be in the CCNSO room, you're stuck with the format of that room. Say there will not be time enough to change the shape of it. Because especially if it's on Tuesday afternoon, the next morning the CCNSO gets in again and there will be some other meetings organized by the CCNSO. So, but most of the time they're reasonably large. They take in about 120, 150 people. So that should be enough.
Great, Bart. Thank you very much. And Annabeth says, so then it would be a panel, question mark. I think Annabeth, the idea is that staff will walk away and think about what is possible and come back to us with some recommendations. One of the things that I think that I was hoping maybe we could achieve today, and in light of the time, we have 3 minutes left, we won't be able to do in a serious way, is to make some suggestions as to who we'd like to see receive a very specific invitation to whatever this format is. We've had the recommendation for the ICANN board, and I would say at least one member of the board would be very helpful. Someone from ICANN Legal, I think, would be very helpful in light of the comments about wanting to avoid litigation going forward. The leadership of the subsequent procedures, PDP, I've made comments on that. Can we ask the working group members to mail us suggestions? Annabeth, I think that's the best way forward, given the time. I encourage you all. I know it's hard in the lead-up to Helsinki. There's a million emails a day, and we're all trying to scramble to get ready. But in light of the fact that we don't have that much time between now and Helsinki, and we want to try and get into these people's agendas as soon as possible, perhaps this week, I'm conscious for most of you it's still Monday here, for Paul and Cheryl and I, it's Tuesday already. Let's try and make this a task for this week. If you can post to the list, if you have suggestions for particular people that you think, or particular roles, doesn't have to be an individual's name, but perhaps someone's function that you think would be helpful to invite to this, that would be very helpful. So let's make that our task to do, all of us, this week by Friday. And Bart, then would you, or Bart, Lars, and Joke, I guess, can you work together to decide how best to plug that into the proposal, the sketch that Bart, you're thinking of doing? Is that, can those names get sort of plugged into your thinking as well? Will that work?
Absolutely. Could work for me.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Okay, that's wonderful. Wonderful. We're at the hour. We have reached our allotted time. Any further comments, concerns, questions? No? Wonderful. As always, thank you very, very much to Bart, Joke, Lars, and Terry, our fantastic staff. Super useful. Thanks for your input, everyone. And we will be together for our next meeting in 2 weeks' time, and we all have this to-do list item for this Friday. Please put to the list your suggestions for whom we might like to invite to this meeting as it's shaping up for Helsinki. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a wonderful day. All the best to you. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Thanks, Heather. Thanks, all.
Bye-bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day. Operator Kim, if you could please stop all recordings.
Recordings are ended.